All right.
Well, of course, we're sort of gearing up for a few changes, obviously. The government has certainly signaled change right across the board, not just for Māori, but we're certainly feeling the focus coming on us from this coalition government. And we know that Te Ariki has called a hui. It's a national hui, actually, and that's, I think, about a few days before Ratana, and then we go straight and then to Waitangi. So there's going to be, of course, we're going to have the Christmas break, you know, then the New Year holiday time, and then it's bang into it. So there's a lot happening, particularly in this space where, as Māori and particularly as our leaders, they're going to have to focus on and, I guess, think about, you know, taking some, either being proactive or just maybe just taking a bit of time to think, to say, well, is it going to be as bad for us as some people are making out? But there's no doubt about it. This coalition government, the national coalition government, has decided that there are some things that they don't like in terms of for Māori, and they're going to take the axe, and I guess that's probably what they're going to do to some of the things that that we've been quite passionate about in the past. So I'm delighted this evening to talk to Hami Piripi, and of course from Te Rarawa. And kia ora, Hami. Nice to have you
on the radio.
Hami, I know that there was a march last week, and I have to say, when I say a march, there was a protest. There was a coming out of people. And it wasn't a protest, or was it just an opportunity for people just to get together and to march and just say, well, we're not too happy with what we've seen so far. But some people I hear this week are taking a more laid-back approach and say, you know, it may not be as bad as what we first thought. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what to make of that. Anything that says, well, we don't want Te Reo Māori in some of our government communications. We want the Māori wards to be looked at again in local government. Well, to me, I think that's quite alarming, but you might have a difference as an iwi leader. Are we all just being a little bit precious and a bit too anxious?
No, I don't think so. I think, as far as I can work out, people just don't want to stay silent. They want to make their views known so that the government can observe the extent of the opposition, I suppose. But, you know, the thing is, we did vote these people in. The royal we, you know. And so how do you argue with a democratic principle like that? I mean, I'm sure I spoke to so many people who have regretted it, but still, we did vote them in. And I think at the end of the day, it's not going to be as easy as they think, because many of those MPs are first-time MPs. They're very inexperienced. In fact, they remind me of a bunch of kids because they're so fresh in that role. And I think they've got they're a bit deluded about how easy it is to remove 40 years of legal jurisprudence. You know, and that is not an easy task to overrule a whole generation of judges and decisions that have been made by the courts. It's a lot of work to be able to do that, just to make it happen. And even with the reo thing, I mean, they may say, yes, you know, stop the reo here and stop the reo there, but at the end of the day, it's our reo. And we can speak our reo wherever and whenever we like. And that's what I like about Mr. Waitangi. You know, he's really loud and proud about that. And I can see that's what Winston Peters hates most, that loud, proud Māori persona. But I think, I think that it's not going to be as easy. And it's a bit like the cat's out of the bag. You can't put it back in again. It's not going to be as easy as they think. There'll be some things that we'll be able to get rid of, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's only a three-year term, and we will have an opportunity to pull it back again in the future, and all is not lost. We're just pushing backwards, that's all.
Well, you know, Hami, our reo, Te Reo Māori, that's an official language of Aotearoa. So what the hell are they doing? I mean, if we didn't have that recognition in terms of an official language of Aotearoa, but you can't suddenly say, oh well, actually, it might be an official language, but we don't want it on, and you know, we don't want to see it in dominating some of our branding in terms of names that we're giving to government departments. We don't want to see it in communications. Government, you know, I mean, if it's an official language, it's an official language, and we should be loud and proud about our language. And I think Māori are, but the government is just this government, and sadly, you know, I just, well, the mind boggles, doesn't it?
So many Pākehā people are with us on that one, you know, and I think they really underestimated the level of support Te Reo Māori has amongst ordinary New Zealanders. And really, we're following the Winston Peters model of going back 50 years to when he was a boy and there was no such thing. And you can see that in the speeches that he makes, that his mind is back, went back then. And it's really a lost generation, if you like. And we don't think like that anymore. You know, and I think eventually he will probably come to realize that, because Māori people and Pākehā people have moved on. We've grown and developed, and even the Māori wards, it is absolutely clear how beneficial that has been for our councils, for our regions, you know, and because you're getting a it's not just replacing. No, we're not replacing one with the other. We're just adding another arm to the governance mechanism. And why wouldn't you do that? It seems so illogical to try and deny it. It's what that co-governance thing is. They're damning the notion of co-governance. But if you look at that word co-governance, it means two instead of one. Well, why wouldn't you want that in our society? It seems so illogical. And I think the logic will dictate in the end, I suspect. And many of these outspoken people who are against the Māori race, I suppose, I think they're going to have to retract a bit, because they're not up with the play of ordinary New Zealanders, in my mind.
Yeah, well, you're quite right. And when I listen to people such as Winston Peters, and, you know, I mean, he's talking from his experience, and he grew up. He grew up in an era, and I mean, I'm the same age as him. Let me assure you of that. I'm the same age as him. So we never had the treaty in our
syllabus. That's right.
School. We didn't have it. We never saw Māori. We never saw Māori on Māori speakers on television.
And so, you couldn't do it at school.
We grew up thinking that, you know, Māori was, if anything, it wasn't. It wasn't as trusting a language as trusting a culture as the Pākehā culture. And that is, when I say trusting, that means that it didn't rate. It didn't rate. The only one that rated, of course, was the Pākehā culture and Pākehā. And so, of course, it's very, very hard unless you make a concerted effort to learn. Why did we lose the language? Why did our culture go? What happened in the suppression? What would you call it? That litany of disenfranchisement and everything. But if you don't learn it, then you will remain in your cocoon.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happened to him, isn't it?
Mm, yes, exactly.
He's still there.
And it's quite sad, Harvey, when I hear him, because I think you should want to know, because his children, they embrace it.
That's right. You know, it really came to me when I saw him trying to ridicule the Māori Party Waititi when he criticised them for the use of the word waka. He said, "A waka travels on the water, not on the road," and that tells you how backward, you know, how ignorant really he is of language and language development and how it can be applied in a contemporary scenario. So he's bereft of the cultural paradigm that enables him to support it, which means that it's always going to be a waste of time with him, I should think. But the rest of us are not there. We've moved on, and we're growing and developing. And there are so many Pākehā agencies, firms, shops, products that are using Māori nomenclature now because people love it. And I think that as try as they might, they're not going to be able to pull the tide back in.
Well, I think that's quite right. I think he doesn't realise that boat has sailed in terms of, you know, you cannot go back. You can't go backwards. And our young people, you know, we've got to think. And our young people are already thinking in the mindset of, you know, we do want to be loud and proud. Our young people going through an identity crisis. They came to Kohangareo, even if their parents didn't know it. Their parents at least sent them to Kohangareo. So they're out there being loud and proud. They're celebrating who they are. And when they run up against somebody like that, they think, my God, what a dinosaur. But, you know, and I think when you look at the Pāti Māori now, and who are definitely loud and proud, then it will become more obvious that somebody there has lost the plot, doesn't know it, and really is becoming more and more irrelevant.
It's a bit sad when you see people like Shane Jones, who's actually, you know, I remember Dun Mihaka used to have a favourite saying that one of the criteria you needed to satisfy to be an effective public servant was having the knowledge of milukākau, you know, the ability to milk a cow. And he used to criticize Māori public servants for having that penchant for milukākau. And I really thought that about Shane James, because he's established his entire career on the treaty claim industry. Yeah, and now he's got out the other side of it and holding hands with big business. He wants to kick it in the butt. Well, that speaks volumes to me.
Oh, well, look, I guess we've got a busy round of what are you doing over Christmas? Are you heading away somewhere for the summer vacation? Are you heading offshore or going up?
I can't afford to. I'm going to stay with my kids, and I'm going to make a little hangi, something I haven't done for years. And I'll probably have to go and catch a wild turkey to put in it.
We've got a number of big hui coming up. We've got the one that King Tuheitia, Te Ariki, called, of course. And then there's Ratana, and then there's, what do you call it? Waitangi Weekend. So we're all going to be busy.
Yes. Well, I hope I'll be up north as well. Yeah, but I hope we're not going to fall back ourselves into that hard out protest element. Because you know one thing that amazes me about Winston, he's the acting prime minister today, but he was one of the people who wouldn't and supported the occupation of Parliament when all those people established their camp there. I thought to myself, how do you do that and come back and be a deputy prime minister? It doesn't ring right. It doesn't ring right to me, and I think that we just got to be firm in our beliefs and our values, because in the end, the truth will out.
Exactly. Well, look, Harmy, thank you very much. And listen, thank you so much for coming on, being my guest from time to time throughout the year. It's always lovely. You're a mine of information. You call it as you see it, and it's just a delight to have your input from time to time. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
I do hope you'll have a great Christmas and a lovely summer vacation.
Oh, you too, and I hope you have a good time with your family.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Kia ora, Harmy. Thank you so much. Harmy Piripi, and of course Harmy is from Te Rarawa, and as I say, it's always lovely to talk to people who've been around for a while, and now, you know, they just call it as they see it, and that is of course, you know, they've earned their stripes. Let's put it like that. If you've been an iwi leader, and if you've been the chair of your runanga, then believe me, you have earned your stripes, because it's not always, that's a real, I often think that's a real test. Working for your iwi. But anyway, let's take a song. We'll take a song, and I'll be back with you in a few minutes.